Welcome to Women Who Sarcast. I'm Kathy Barron.
And I'm Corey Asuncion.
And this is Cut to the Chase.
Oh. All right, so I'm starting this one off today. That's what we're
Did
saying.
Did you have to make it that obvious? Yes, Corey, it's all you. You're going to talk through this whole episode.
Well, we had one episode where I said I talk
and agree with everything that you say.
Well, that's good. At least we've got everything arranged the way it should
be. At least on the same page, yes.
Yeah. So today we're talking about creativity and how did this began? Because you were at my house, a couple weeks ago, and I don't know, creativity came up, and somehow along the way I said something like, well, I'm not really all that creative. And you didn't actually physically harm me, but
it's
I
good
feel
thing because
like
I was sitting on
you
the
wanted
floor,
to slap me,
and there
maybe.
Was a huge wooden table between us, and I'm too old to get up quick anymore, so you're lucky I'm as old as I am.
Right. And it's funny because you're not the first person that has said that to me. Corey, of course, you're creative, and my partner will say it. So it was funny because after that, it made me think a little bit about what does creativity mean to each individual, to myself. I had seen a couple things on Instagram, one of which I shared with you was somebody's reel. And it just kept making me think about it. And I think the biggest thing that for myself, at least initially, that came from that was one, this definition that I had of creativity was inaccurate. Let's just start there. Mm-hmm. And I think that that was part of, or has been part of the reason why I say I'm not very creative. So
what was your definition of creativity?
Well, to me, someone who's creative, my initial definition is usually someone who out of nowhere can come up with something, you know, with nothing in front of them. Does that make any sense? So,
no,
you know,
I mean, it does make sense, but that's so called someone who's clever, not creative.
So in my mind, you know, I think of like my partner, very articulate. So much so I'm like, I can't even understand you, you know, poetic. And actually several members of his family are amazing artists, like with paint and digital art, and come up with like decorative things for their homes where I'm like, where the hell did you get this? I mean, it's always perfect. It's always wonderful. It's like down to their handwriting. It just, their handwriting looks like you could sell it. You know what I mean? And I'm like, I can't do any of that. You know, not really. Mm-hmm. And one of the things I've always said I'm good at is seeing somebody's idea and going, oh, I can do that. And then going and creating it. So, mm-hmm. for example, years ago, I was trying to make money for our family. My partner at the time, his job was like, it was the winter time. So he was an iron worker and you don't always work a lot. Anyhow. And I had gone to a little boutique shop and they were selling tutus for little girls. Or whomever, for little people. And I was like, how much are those? And it was like $75. And I looked at it and I'm like, oh no, I can make this. So I went home and I made it and I started selling them. I was selling tutus out of my house for a period of time. But when I say I'm not creative, it's because I didn't come up with the idea. Somebody else did. I was able to take it and then do something with it. It's just like when I cook, I'm a really good cook, a really good baker, but most of the time there's a hint of somebody else's, whether it's like my grandmother's and I've made it better, or a recipe I found online. Sometimes I'll combine aspects of three recipes online, but in my mind, I'm like, well, I didn't come up with it. Somebody else did. I just, you know, knew how to stir things. or I know what, you know, different things mean. I know what a mandolin is. I know how to, you know, use the zest of a lemon, whatever it, not in my mind, it's not creative. I just, you know, follow directions. So that's initially why I say I'm not creative, because I didn't think it, the idea didn't start with me. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense?
No, I mean, it totally makes sense. But I think, and I'm going to be, we're going to have a debate here. I'm the rebuttal to that statement. Because I think not everybody has to recreate the wheel to be considered mm-hmm. creative. I mean, right. if something already exists but could be approved on, if as long as it's not illegal and you're doing something, you know, in that realm, then it's fine. I think that being able to think outside of the box creatively, kind of like creative thinking, that to me is creativity. And you seem to be the type that can think outside of the box and make something even better or make it your own, basically.
All right, so here's my question for you. Well, first of all, I know you're creative, so I'm assuming you're going to tell me, yeah, I'm creative. Yes or no? Answer the questions.
Because I'm creative, I'm going to say you're creative?
No, you yourself. I'm assuming that you would refer to yourself as a creative person.
Yes.
Okay. I just wanted, well, just clarifying. Okay, so now here's my next question. Are you born creative, or is you have to be trained to be creative, or does it come along later on? Is creative an inherent, is that the right word, trait?
Creativity to me is the same as intuition.
Okay.
We all have it. Some of us find it sooner than others, but we all have creativity and we all have intuition inside of us. It's just tapping into it and understanding what it looks like to us in order for us to develop it and build it and grow it.
So you would say that it's, you're born with it, but maybe it is revealed later on if you seek it out.
Yeah, I think so. I think as kids, we're all creative because we have imaginations. We have imaginary mm-hmm. people that we talk to. I'm sure you had that. I had that growing up. But we were creative when we were kids because we, I don't know, you just have an imagination and you create all of these worlds. And, you know, if you have blocks, you build a building. Or if you have cars or trucks, you know, you create this world in your mind as you're pushing the car or toy down the, you know.
So what stifles that? Because think about it. I, as you're saying this, I'm thinking about children. I've had a bunch of them. And yes, obviously they're creative right out of the gate. I mean, they come up with the craziest thoughts, the craziest questions. You'll see them do things that are very much, maybe even one would consider not the right way to do things, but you know, they came up with that on their own. But at some point it's stifled in a sense. There's a point where we look at children and say, oh, you know, why would they do it that way? Or why are they thinking that way? Or why do they ask so many questions? So what are we doing as adults that's maybe stifling the creativity that comes about at a young age? This is seriously a question. I'm trying to think about it right now. What are we doing? Do we say being a child is no longer, having the mind of a child is no longer okay?
Well, I think as you get older, there's like this sense of responsibility and you have to be responsible and you have to be practical. I mean, how many people have told their parents they want to be a writer or they want to be an artist or they want to be a painter? And they get the response of, well, how are you going to make a living?
Right.
You know, how are you going to support yourself?
Okay.
And that's basically where you get, and if you hear that often enough or from someone that you truly value their opinion, then you're going to be okay. Yeah, you're right. And you push it down yourself. I didn't really discover my creativity until my late 20s when I discovered photography and I got my first camera, my first 35 millimeter camera, and decided to, lived in the Bay Area, and there were a lot of migrant farm workers, and I would drive down 101 to visit my parents in Santa Maria, and all along there are agricultural fields, and I would always see people in the fields, but I could never see their faces because they were always covered up from the sun to protect themselves. And so I decided to create a black and white, like, photo essay of migrant farm workers. So I went over to Half Moon Bay because there was a community over there and got permission to take their photographs and talked with them. And that kind of snowballed me into going into art school to learn videography because I felt that these people needed a voice, that the still photos weren't enough to hear their voices. And I ultimately wanted to do a documentary. Never happened, but that was one of my dreams to do, was to do a documentary on migrant farm workers, like follow a family. When I lived in Oregon, I actually volunteered at the Western Farm Workers Association in Hillsboro, and we went out to some camps. And just to see the conditions that people were living in and working in, it was horrible. Mm. So that experience was quite humbling. But that's kind of how my creativity evolved. And in art school, I got kind of taught, you know, how to do, like, Photoshop and InDesign and illustration and that sort of thing. And so I kind of dipped my toe into that a little bit. But I think as I've gotten older, more and more, the creativity kind of frees itself up, I guess you could say.
It evolves, and maybe.
Evolves into different. Like, if you had said I was going to have a podcast and a magazine for women podcasters, I would have said you were crazy. But,
right.
You know, things just pop up. Circumstances happen, timing. Someone comes into your life that is like, oh, cool, we could start a podcast together. Or, you know, a need. You see a need, you fill a gap, you know, whatever. Based on what you enjoy doing.
Yeah, so so ever since that conversation we had, it's definitely been on my mind. And again, I think a lot of it had to do with my own personal definition of what creative meant. And it usually had to do with things that are related to the arts and photography and painting and, you know, videography and things like that, writing, which then when I sat and thought about it, I'm like, okay, that's dumb, because there's a lot of people I know that I would refer to as being creative or a creative, and that is not what they're doing. But it was weird to apply it to myself. Mm-hmm. Again, in part because my thing has always been, I take something and I alter it in some way, shape or form. But as you know, so as that's been on my mind, I've been, you know, considering a lot of things, and, you know, there, I have definitely had to get creative. One of our podcast episodes, we discussed the part where we were homeless. Mm-hmm. And so when you have, at the time I had 6 children still living at home, we had to get creative with where we were staying, what we were eating, how we shopped, how we took care of ourselves, how we bathed, you know, all that kind of stuff. Again, we were not we weren't homeless, like living on the street kind of homeless, but it was like couch surfing and hotels and things like that. Everything we owned was in the back of our car. Not everything we owned, I take that back. Everything we carried with us was in the back of our car. And so definitely, you know, there was times where we had to get creative, and I am the type of person that will analyze the shit out of whatever's going on until I can figure out, you know, how to get down to the nitty gritty. Over process sometimes is really what I do. But here's something I did read earlier today, and I wanted to know what you thought about this. These are a couple of traits, supposedly. Now, whether or not these are accurate, I don't know. So I'm just curious. And so a couple traits of people that are referred to as creative, risk takers. They have a dare to fail attitude. They're willing to be different. They are impulsive, fickle, and change their minds quite often. So I'm reading this and I'm like, this sounds like a parent's complaint. So when you said earlier about a child, and after a while, because when I asked what stifled it, it was, oh, we've got to become an adult, basically. You've got to be responsible. You've got to do all these things. And so if these are the definitions of a creative person, all of those are the definitions of things that really a toddler is, honestly. And we, as parents, or I've done it myself as a parent, maybe within the school system, whatever, we shut it down. Now, obviously you don't want a toddler risk taker running around at the age of 40, but I know that for myself, when we're talking about creativity and when I am redefining it for myself and my understanding of it ever since we had that conversation, one of the biggest things, I know that I'm not always a risk taker because I will analyze the shit out of something. So I know every possible aspect of something that can be thrown at me. And so I'm not big on taking, I'm just going. Now, I am a little fickle, change my mind often, and am impulsive. So that was interesting to me. But I do see that when we talk about stifling creativity in someone who is young, this little five traits here thing, or four traits, whatever it was, really is a young mind that's learning and expanding and isn't afraid. And at some point in our lives, many of us are shut down, or we allow ourselves to be shut down. And so now here I'm at 40 years old, and there are times where I shut this shit down. I shut down the risk. I shut down the dare to fail, because hello, I have analyzed this shit to death. I'm not going to fail. I don't want to be impulsive, because what if? And then, you know, the wondering of imposter syndrome and all that other shit. I mean, what do you think about those traits? What's your take on those traits?
I don't know. I think to have specific traits for creativity is putting that in a box.
And that's a good point.
And I don't think any creative wants to be put in a box, because mm-hmm. the point of creativity is that you are thinking outside of the box. Mm-hmm. And basically doing your own thing. And maybe even unorthodox, or something that you haven't seen and want to try, or anything like that. But I also feel that a misconception about creativity is that there has to be like an end result of something to admire or purchase or hear or read, right, or whatever. And right, I think that for those creatives that don't create pottery or a painting or mm-hmm. write a book, they can still have creativity through creative thinking. And creative thinking is like the process of looking at a situation from a new perspective.
It really involves trying new things. I mean,
right, and that's what creativity is yeah. about. It's creating new things. For yeah, you and specifically,
like, as I'm understanding it more, you know, like I said, it's getting rid of these old mindsets mm-hmm. about what it means. And I'm not really good with praise either. So in my mind, someone who's creative, my deal is, it's kind of like I've always wanted to be creative. Do you see what I'm saying? You look at something, someone's going to be like, not in a jealous or envious way, but desiring to do something that amazing. Mm-hmm. And like, why don't I have that trait? That would be really fun. I love to see them do these things. It would be great if I could do this same type of thing. And I don't, in my mind, you know, you see what I'm saying? Now, it could very well be that they're saying the same thing. Oh, you know, Corey can do X, Y, Z, and I can't do those things too. But I don't do really well with praise typically. So when someone says, oh no, you did such a good job on that, I'm like, shh. Don't tell me that. And you know, which is weird. I don't really know what that means.
Well, I think a lot of people don't accept compliments or praise very well.
Yeah.
And I think that's just a practice of saying thank you, and that's all you need to say.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the thing. There's always got to be a freaking explanation. I'm like that with everything.
Well, thank you, but yeah.
Well, someone compliments me on something, I'll like tell them where I bought it. Like, right. I got to go into, oh, Corey, nice dress. Thanks. I got it for this much at this store, blah, blah, blah. They didn't ask any of that. Why do I do that? I do not know. Right. Part of it is because I want everybody else to have it. Because now I'm like, oh, you like it? Do you want one? Here's how much it was. Right. And I'm a bargain finder. So I'm going to find you the cheapest one, and I'm going to tell you where to go. And they're just like, dude, I just liked your dress. That's all. That's it. Anyhow.
You're right. Yeah.
So for yourself then, how do you think that your creativity has evolved? Like, what have you done personally? Is there anything you've done? Like, I know that this is how, for myself, when I get maybe in a creative rut or I need a creative outlet, whatever, what is it that you do for yourself to kind of unleash that?
Well, I mean, I definitely get stuck because I'm a perfectionist. And so it has to be done the quote unquote right way. Mm-hmm. And there is no right way. That's an excuse. That's a tool to procrastinate and just drag the shit along. When I moved back to California in 2012 from Santa Fe, I didn't have a job. And so it was like November. And I was staying with some friends, so I had a lot of time on my hands. And so there was this, you know, the National Novel Writing Month, which is in San Francisco. It's like a sort of a contest, but it's, mm-hmm. it's more about challenging yourself. And when I lived in Santa Fe, I had this idea to do a web series. And so I took that concept and decided to challenge myself and do the National Novel Writing Month, where you write mm-hmm. 50,000 words in a month. And so I've never written a book. I barely journal because it's I just can't do it. I can't sit. And I'm not a writer that like journals every morning when I wake up. I'm not that committed and that dedicated. So doing this monthly thing was definitely a challenge. But once I got into it, I kind of got into this groove. And there was even one day where I wrote like 4,300 words or something. But the really weird, not weird, but the thing that just blew my mind was that the story, the characters were talking to me in my head. Mm. And they were kind of telling me what to write. And I would be having these conversations with these characters in my head. And they wanted me to go a certain way in the book. And I'm like, no, I'm not doing that. I'm not doing that. And they're like, yeah, you have to do that. I'm like, no, I'm not doing that. So anyway, basically, this month opened my eyes to the fact that, yes, I can write if I get out of my own way and I just let it flow. Granted, it took me 6 years to finish the book because that month I basically had to start over because that month you're basically just vomiting everything that comes into mind. Mm-hmm. And I had like 5 subplots and 20 characters and it was like going in 20 different directions. And so I had to really basically
hone it down,
gut it. I had to gut the whole thing. And then it took me 6 years to finish. But I also realized in my creative projects that when I start something and I see some, you know, this shiny little project over here, that I'll ditch this project and go over to this other one. Because God forbid I should finish something, you know, from beginning to end. Mm. And so I consciously told myself with this book, I said, I'm not taking 10 years to finish this book. So you need to finish it before you start anything else. And that was really hard. Like I physically could feel myself try to do another project and basically grab myself and refrain from doing that so that I could finish the book. Yes, it took me 6 years and it was definitely a challenge because I would go for a little while. I would get some momentum and then something would happen, something in my life happened that stalled it. And mm-hmm. then it's trying to, you know, get started again. And it's hard to get started again and again. But once you get started, you kind of get your juices flowing.
So do you feel like from each of those times where, whether it be, you know, starting again or honing down, like you said, you had to gut the book, or when you're doing something and see something new and shiny here and you set that other thing down, do you believe that though through each of those times that you kind of have learned something new for the next time? And so it like expand your creativity in a sense?
I think it definitely, I definitely learned more about myself. I mean, that was a huge revelation for me, learning that I go project to project without really finishing. Mm-hmm. So that was huge. And it took every ounce of my being to not do that. So yeah, with each project or each idea or each whatever, it definitely was a lesson learned.
And that you can carry forward.
Hopefully. I mean, it's not always an exact science.
It's still interesting understanding creativity, at least for me. I feel like in some ways you've kind of been in this space. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. And whereas I haven't in the same, and not in the same way. And so it's, you know, like I said, it's definitely a learning thing for me. That reel that I heard the other day, and this really opened my eye for me personally, opened my eyes, and I had shared it with you. And the essence of it was that what she was saying, that was that we all are creative. But when we get stuck, or maybe when we don't believe it, we begin to consume. And so, you know, imagine, I don't know, your creativity is inside the bottom of your purse or bag or backpack, whatever. And you just start stuffing other things in there on top of it. It's not that it's gone. It's not that it's not there, because it's still there. It's just you've piled other shit on top of it as though that's the important shit. And so rifling through, getting rid of all of that other things that, you know, you may consume, which is covering up your creativity, which is stifling, which is holding it down. And I feel like that, I mean, that could be applied to so many different things. I was thinking about the other, there's so many ways that, whether it be from fear, lack of understanding, experience, knowledge, belief, you know, we put other things in there. I can be notorious for that, especially when I get, even just, you know, I'm a life coach. And I'm constantly educating myself. And sometimes actually the constant education is the consuming.
Right.
There's a couple things that I've had in my mind, something things I want to work on. And what'll happen is I'll get a little bit scared. Oh, I don't know if I'm ready to do that yet. And what if, you know, what if nobody likes that? And what if this doesn't pan out? I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to read a bunch of articles. I'm going to take on a bunch of other things. And how about I also work on my website? And how about I create another reel, you know, And so now I've all this other shit that I put on top of it, and but it's still there. It's and it'll nag me too, because it'll be like, Corey, remember you said you're gonna. That's enough. Right now we're reeling, okay? and so you know, that was a really interesting take for me. Again, like I said, it was coming from the standpoint of being a creative, or a creative person, or being, you know, creative in general. And then I just saw a lot of other things that you could apply that to as well. But I just thought that was really interesting to consider when we say things to ourselves, myself included, oh, I'm not creative. What am I consuming? First of all, is it that I really want to create? Do I even know that yet? Because sometimes I feel like maybe we just don't really know. What is it that makes me creative? You know?
Well, I also feel like this sense of consuming is like you're filling a hole in yourself. Mm-hmm. That's what I think of when, like, either you're not, like, you want a relationship, but you don't, but you're single, and you feel lonely. So you go have retail therapy, you know.
Yeah.
To me, that's the same thing. It's like you're filling that hole and double checking myself. I don't consume because of I'm stuck creatively, but I have consumed in other parts where I feel like there's a hole or that I'm missing mm-hmm. something or that sort of thing. And I think with creativity, you know, you say that you do your reels. That's creativity.
Well, yes. But see, the thing is what I'm talking about, what I consume to do, I consume creative things. It's a fear. Mm-hmm. So in order to distract myself from the fears of pressing on of, you know, maybe it will not pan out. You know, maybe no one will like it. Instead of facing those possibilities, why don't I just step over here and grab something else and create a reel, you know, or whatever it may be. Mm-hmm. And I think we can apply that to many things, whatever it is that you're looking to do, to be, to create, to become. Because I think that, again, another thing I'm learning as I'm understanding creativity, it's not just tangible. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of things that you brought up relationships, it might be personal growth, whatever it is, we consume to avoid in some ways, mm-hmm. at least that's what I find in myself. And a lot of that has to do with fears or worries. A lot of it, I think, has to do with what society says we're supposed to be doing. I just had this conversation yesterday and today with a couple of my kids. I'm not the normal parent. If you don't like your job, quit. Go find what you love. Because mm-hmm. over my dead body, will I tell my kids, oh, no, you have to work and hate it and allow them to treat you bad because that's just what working is all about. Mm-hmm. I don't believe that. Now, yeah, you've got some responsibilities you've got to take care of as far as financially you're concerned. And I'm not rich, so I'm not taking care of them. But I do not believe that you should be where you don't find joy.
Yeah.
Now, that obviously, let's just real quick, I do want to say that sometimes jobs are hard and you press on because you love your job. It doesn't mean your job is always easy. I just want to preface by saying that.
Yeah.
But I think that, again, what I feel, just like with jobs, it's similar to me with creativity. We have this rule book that society has laid out for us and we believe that we're supposed to follow. And dreaming, imagining, falling in love with who you are, what your passions are, all of those things are outside of the box of what society says we are supposed to, definitely outside of certain generations of what they've always said that we were supposed to be doing. And I think that's one of the biggest steps is to recognize you're in this box. Are you in the box? Get out of the fucking box. How are we going to get you out of the box? You know, because you can't even find where it is, where your creative passion is even at, if you're locked up inside of this box that says, well, you've got to do this. Mm-hmm. And you've got to do this. And again, there may be some things we have to do, like, you know, you've got kids, you feed them, please. And, you know, change poopy diapers. But, you know, that you can also do things that you love.
Yeah.
Outside of that. And so finding those things and realizing that, I think, is really important.
I think with creativity, it's hard to express yourself because of what you just said about society has these standards and, you know, we don't want to break the mold or, you know, go off on our own. And that's what creativity is all about. It's exploring mm-hmm. new ways to express your talent outside of the box. But also, I think social media and the internet has really done a shitty job, has really diminished and made people think that they aren't creative and they're not good at what they do and they're not whatever, fill in the blank.
Yeah, I'm going to agree with you. I think it kind of does both. It's like one minute you're like, oh, so creative. Oh, the fuck I am.
you compare yourself to other people and
oh, yeah.
that whole imposter syndrome. And it's really hard to get away from that from social media. So, you know, I think we need to be gentle with ourselves and know that, yeah, I would love to be able to create pottery like I've seen on shows or on social media. But I just don't have the chutzpah to go and learn. Yeah, I would love to take a class, but is it something that I want to do every single... I mean, it takes a lot of dedication and commitment mm-hmm. to do something like that. Even with painting, I painted one picture in Seattle when I lived in Seattle. I painted a picture. It's not hanging in my mom's house. And it was just an idea that I had. And I'm like, oh, I think I'll paint this. And I'd never painted before. Mm-hmm. And it was the only painting that I've done because I don't have the patience. It took me like 10 minutes to paint it. And it's fine. It's like this it's like this umbrella that's upside down with the handle is like a mm-hmm. the swan. Like I turned it into a swan or something, and then I put like these golden drops of rain or whatever, and that's the picture. I don't have the patience to sit there and draw a house and little trees like, you know, Bob Ross.
You know, what's funny is I'm really into trying all the things though. So like you were just saying pottery and things like that. Cause like I'll see things that people do and I'm like, good God, they're amazing at this. I want to try it. Now I'm not saying I'm going to do it for forever. I just want to try it. I would love to try and make a mug. Mm-hmm. I am dying to go to a paint night, which I'm supposed to be going to one next month. So I'm really excited about it. I'm a little bit excited about the fact that I can also drink alcohol when I do it, but that's besides the point. There's certain things, you know, I got roller skates at the beginning of the pandemic. I have not been able to get out and do that because of what's going on here at the house and caring for the elderly man. But that was just totally like, well, that looks fun. I'm going to try that, mm-hmm. you know?
Yeah, and I would love to learn how to to blow glass.
Yeah.
There's a place in Half Moon Bay. We should go. We should do a date and do it.
Oh, really?
Yes.
I did not know. Yeah. And see, it might be one of those things where I'm like, oh my gosh, that was so fun. Are you going to do it again? Nope.
Yeah. But at least we did it and we tried.
Yeah.
And
yeah, I'm very much all the things. And I'm certain this is why I laugh, because when I was reading those traits and it said something about, oh, they're kind of, what did it say? Oh, they change their minds frequently, mm-hmm. or whatever. Well, that's part of what it is. I'll tell my partner, oh, I'm going to do XYZ. And he'd be like, what? Where did this come up with? I'm in my brain right now. And I'll go, you know, maybe I need to purchase stuff to do it. And I'll making candles. I did that, you know, for a little while.
Right.
Making candles. In fact, I had to go through all the stuff yesterday and get rid of some of the stuff just yesterday. And that was kind of a whim thing, but I actually did it several times over a couple of years. Making soap, did that. Do I want to do it again? Nope. But I can say, mm-hmm. hey, I have made soap before.
And that's also how you find out what you're really want to do creatively. I mean,
right.
If you don't try out these things, then how are you going to find what exactly. you're interested in and what really resonates? Like with the glass blowing, am I going to get all the materials and go rent a studio? And it's like, hell no. I just want to learn and do it. And that's it. And put it up on my dresser. You know,
I would love. Yeah, no, that's cool. They have that on like Netflix or something like that. Mm-hmm. There's a show.
I've seen that. Yeah.
Yeah. No. Yeah. See that. And that kind of stuff is very intriguing to me. Do I want to do it for the rest of my life? Probably not. But I would definitely like to, I don't know, maybe I'll be, you know, like the movie Ghost, and I'll make some pottery and I'll sing a song in my underwear, and maybe Aaron, my partner, will come over, and then I'll be like, the fuck, it's a mess. No, I'm not doing this again. But at least I can say I did it. I might enjoy that.
Right. And I think that's part of discovering yourself in figuring out what it is, what creativity means to you. And we kind of have to give ourself permission mm-hmm. to do that discovery, that self-discovery, and explore and call yourself a creative. Own it. You're creative. I'm going to keep calling you that. Corey the creative.
Corey the creative. I need a shirt. I'm just kidding. Don't do that. Okay.
And when ideas, like half of this shit that I come up with, it's just an idea that comes in my head. I don't know where it comes from, but... And I'll write it down. Some I'll pursue, some I won't. It's just whatever resonates.
Yeah.
So like intuition, you have to kind of massage that muscle and exercise that muscle, and it'll become more, creativity will become more intuitive.
It's interesting that you compare that, using those words together, because I feel like I am a very intuitive person, and I pay, you know, and I hone that, I guess you would say, within myself. So using that within regards to creativity, it's like another layer to my understanding of what it means, especially for myself, when we're talking about myself. And I think another thing too, is I love to find the creativity in other people. I really dig that. And so it's kind of just, again, old mindsets, to ignore myself, because again, I feel like those are the boxes. No, I'm a mom. I have seven kids. You know, you've got a responsibility here. What do you mean you're off buying tarot cards and crystals, and you know, you got your life coach certifications, and you, I don't know, have roller skates. What are you doing? You're supposed to be doing this other shit, you know? Mm-hmm. And so then, you know, I've enjoyed watching it come to fruition in other people. So learning to watch it in myself now and enjoy that, is new for me. And so I will do better. How's that?
Well, another lesson that I learned is that when I was working in the grocery industry, there was a pretty long span of time where I wasn't doing anything creative. And I just about lost my mind. And that's when I learned that I need to have some sort of creative outlet outside of my day job. Otherwise, it's almost like exercises for some people. Mm-hmm. It's like they have to exercise every day. Otherwise, they'll just go bounce off the walls.
That makes absolute sense. And it's interesting because that, to me, that adds another layer of things that I need to awareness of self. Because it makes me wonder, there's some things that I do and I'm like, you know, at the time I'll think it's because I'm bored or it's because I'm frustrated or it's because I'm exhausted, but I really don't feel exhausted. And I'll do things like whatever, it sounds terrible and stupid, but I'll go to the grocery store. But during that time, I cannot begin to tell you how many thoughts and ideas and conversations I'll have with myself that have to do with creative things. It is, and it's almost always the best time. And I literally want no one there. Do not come with me to the grocery store. Stu is always like, oh, someone can come help you. I am like, I do not need your help. I don't, you know, I love that time and I crave it. And so that's interesting that you said that's something to pay attention to.
Well, sure. And I hope you write that shit down because.
Well, I did it before because I'm like, oh, I'll remember. No, never. So now I have my phone and I've got one of those, you know, you can attach it to your dash and mm-hmm. I can just go, hey, Siri, and I'll record something. Sometimes I'll hit video and just record myself, not because I'm going to use the video, because I usually like this or and I but I'll take the audio from that to as a memory for to, you know, something to discuss later on or to write or to do or whatever it is.
Yeah Well, and I think that's key because like you said, you're not going to remember. And when you're driving or when you're walking or grocery shopping, that's when the ideas are going to come into your head, not mm-hmm. when you're sitting at a table with a pen and a paper. That's just not going to come. It's going to come. And movement also helps me, like walking movement helps me kind of get those creative juices flowing. Yeah.
So I will agree with that for sure. I can see that. Cause I definitely, there's more happening up in the brain area when I'm moving. If mm-hmm. I'm just sitting there, I start to space cadet out. not only that, I'm kind of like, I don't feel like thinking right now. And once I sit down, that's where I'm at. I'm done with the thoughts. So I would like some brainless crap TV or to stare out into the, you know, the yard mindlessly for a while now. But
yeah.
Well, I don't know if, I mean, how do you feel it? Did that go well? Do you feel like we've discussed creativity properly? And do you feel like, I wonder if anybody else feels like me?
Yeah, I'm sure there's a lot of people out there. And I kind of want to challenge listeners to kind of do a little check-in with yourselves and ask yourself how you define your creativity. And if you don't feel like you are creative, then ask yourself questions like, what do you like to do? What brings you joy? I mean, I hate that whole saying, what brings you joy? But what brings you joy? What do you enjoy doing? And is that creative? I'm sure it is. Is there a project that you've been wanting to do?
Yeah, you know? I think we need to let go of some shit too, because I think that stifles us for sure. And yeah. So when we say, I don't even know anymore, well, that's because there's too much shit. Whether that's be mental shit or tangible physical shit, it doesn't matter. There's shit there. We need to let go of.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So like with intuition, like I said, you know, sit down, have a conversation with yourself and come to some ideas or conclusion as to what you define creativity and then start practicing.
Yes. Try shit. Just try shit. Just try it. That's all I'd say. Whatever it is, just try it. You don't like it? Okay, fine. Move on. Next.
So that's the challenge. Go find something creative that like, glass blowing, pottery, write a poem, write a short paragraph, write a short story, you know, whatever. Go take, you know, pictures on your phone. You don't need a fancy camera to go take photographs. I mean, my camera probably takes better, if not the same quality as a $3,000 SLR. And go take a series of pictures.
Mm-hmm.
And see what happens and see how you feel, how your body feels when you do that sort of thing, because that's your indication that you're on the right track.
Right. Love it.
So we will see you next time on Women Who Sarcast. Thank you for listening to Women Who Sarcast, an independent podcast. Email us at womenwhosarcast@yahoo.com and follow us on Instagram and Twitter at Women Who Sarcast. Get your copy of Women Who Podcast magazine today. Visit womenwhopodcastmag.com to subscribe. Show music provided by Mike Imbasciani.